How good a piece of news that is today. Have you said to the person next to you, Happy Easter to them yet? And if you haven't, do it now. Happy Easter to all of you. Happy Easter. Happy Easter to you. Happy Easter to you in the corner. Happy Easter to you in the cheap seats at the back. It's a great time to remember, but not just to remember, but to celebrate. Because as Ian so brilliantly put it when we had the guys being interviewed earlier, if it wasn't for the resurrection, our faith in Jesus would be futile. Our hope in our Savior would be pointless. We would be following maybe a good moral teacher, but if it wasn't for the resurrection, then all of this would be for nothing. But praise God, because we stand here today, many of us, myself included, stand here today because we believe in the power of God to raise Jesus from the dead. We believe that it happened. We believe that it is a historical event. It's a real thing that happened in our history. And it's something that affects every one of us alive today. And I want to just take a few moments to unpack that with you this morning and to help us focus once again on the fact that he has risen. That first Easter Sunday, more than 2,000 years or so ago. It's interesting just thinking about this week. This is the kind of the Holy Week, the Easter week. And at the start of this Easter week, there was another tragedy that happened. I'm sure you saw that in the news. If you put the picture up, I'm sure many of you know what this is. Notre Dame, there we go. Yeah, which is a beautiful building. I've never been there, but it's a beautiful building steeped in history, 850-odd years of history. It's been through all sorts of trials and troubles and rebellions and revolutions and civil wars and world wars. At one time, it wasn't even a church. It was given over to a more of a kind of secularist society. It's been through so much. And then on Monday, tragedy struck and it caught fire. And what was most striking for me, I don't know, I'm sure you've seen the pictures that came out from this story. What was most striking for me was that everyone was wondering, well, what's going to be left? What's going to happen? What are we going to find in the ashes of this terrible tragedy that's befallen this building? And one of the first images that came out, and I'm sure you've seen it. If you haven't, we'll put it on the screen here. One of the first images that came out, if you can see it, it's a bit dark on that screen. You might see it better on that screen. Everyone's going to turn around now. But there was this one of the first images that were kind of sent and went all around the world and was on all the news networks and on all social media was this picture that in the midst of the clouds and the dust and the rubble, the cross of Jesus was still standing. And not just standing, and as this picture so beautifully puts, was kind of the light was gleaming down and it was kind of creating this glowing effect. It's just an absolutely beautiful picture. I do recommend go and look at it in kind of all its HD full version because it is an absolute beauty. And it's just a picture, really, for me, of what we're celebrating today. Because out of the devastation that was the Son of God, who came in human form, who lived a wonderful life, a perfect life, a sinless life, and yet chose to die on a cross. And in the devastation of his death, something beautiful came out of that, out of the ashes, like a phoenix rising out of the ashes, if you will, like that cross standing in the midst of all that devastation. Jesus came back to life. And I think for me, that image will always stick with me now, not just to remind me of what happened to Notre Dame, that beautiful building, but a reminder of actually in all the devastation that Jesus always rises and always shines through, that if nothing else, you can trust in God. He is the one who you can cling on to. He is our rock. He is our anchor. He is that stable, fixed point that, you know what, no matter what else is going on in your life, Jesus will always remain the same. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I want us to look at some of the verses. We've already heard some of them read from the Easter eggs earlier today. But I want to just quickly look at some of the verses from Luke. Luke chapter 24. And this is part of that story that you can read if you want to read the whole story in Luke of the life of Jesus, and we have his death. And then we get to the moment after his death, the moment what happened on this day over 2,000 years ago, when they went and discovered what had happened. Read with me, if you will, what happens next. Luke 24, verses 1 to 8. It says, on the first day of the week, that's today, Sunday, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. I want to just draw a couple of things out of this passage, some things that really stood out to me. I've been praying and reading this over and thinking about what God would want me to share with you this morning, and a couple of things that have stood out to me in this passage. First of all is that first thing that happens when the women, they go into the tomb, they've kind of got a general expectation, a reasonable expectation, you would probably say, that Jesus was going to be where they left him. Generally speaking, dead bodies don't move. All right, we can all assume that to be the norm, right? Dead bodies tend to be where you left them. They're not like keys and wallets, which have a magical kind of element to them, which never seem to be where you leave them. But generally speaking, dead bodies, they stay where you put them. So they go to the tomb full of expectation to find the body of Jesus still in the tomb where they had left it on Friday. But of course, he's not there. First thing that they say, verse 3, it says, they did not find the body. And in a nutshell, what this has spoken to me about is that they came with expectations in the wrong place. They came to Jesus that Sunday, that first Easter Sunday, with their expectations all in the wrong place. You see, it was reasonable to assume that a dead body would still be where it was, but this was no ordinary person. This was Jesus. This was the Son of God. This is the man who came into the world with this express purpose to fulfill what he had talked about, what had been said before, what had been prophesied about him, that he was coming to the world to die, and not just die, but to be raised again from the dead. If they really knew Jesus, if they really understood at this point, if they knew what was going on, they wouldn't have expected to have found him in the tomb, because they should have expected him to have been raised from the dead. And that kind of makes me, to follow on that, to ask myself the question, and I want to ask you the question this morning. What expectations are you bringing today of Jesus? What are you expecting of Jesus today, this morning? What are you expecting to find when you come into church to sing the songs and to do all the fun stuff and eat the lovely pastries and all the stuff that we normally do? It's our habit, it's our tradition, if you like. But what are you expecting from Jesus today? Are your expectations in the right place? Because, you know, it's so easy, isn't it, to just assume that we know what we're going to get when we come to Jesus. Maybe for you, Jesus is... You've got your understanding of who he is. You've got your ideas of what you think about him. Maybe, you know, you like the nativity scene version of Jesus, and you like the little baby Jesus. Maybe you like the kind of Da Vinci painting version of Jesus. Maybe you like the nice safe Jesus. Maybe you do, you know, believe in Jesus and you've got a relationship with him, but he's there when you need him to be. And when you're done with him, you put him back in his box. What's your expectation when you come to Jesus? Because if that is your expectation, prepare to have your expectations blown away. That's not the real Jesus. Jesus doesn't fit into our nice boxes. He doesn't fit into any nice tombs. He doesn't fit into what we would like him to be like, because he's so much more than that. If you come with a limit on what you expect from Jesus, then you will only ever get what you expect. If you come this morning, because maybe this you come here every week, but you just expect nothing to happen. You don't expect to have an encounter with God. If that's what you come to this morning, well, guess what? That's probably what you will receive. Maybe this is just one of those occasions where you've come because it's a special Sunday. Maybe you've come with family. Maybe you don't normally come to church. Maybe your expectation is that Jesus isn't real to you. If you come with those expectations, let me tell you something. You'll get what you expect. But Jesus is worth so much more than that. There's an American church leader called Francis Chan, and he said this. He said, "Would you want to know the truth about God, even if it's different from what you believe? Would you actually want to know the truth about God, even if it's different from what you currently believe?" That's a hard question to mull over, because actually for most of us, we're quite comfortable with what we believe. We're quite comfortable with the way that we've organized our lives, and we've got everything where we want it to be, and we know how much of Jesus or how much of religion we're willing to kind of allow to seep into our lives, because they're, you know, we're in charge. But if God's real, if Jesus really did die on the cross, if he did come back to life again, which proved that he was who he said he was, then that changes everything. And actually, the truth of it is not that that's not true. Actually, a lot of the time, the truth of it is that we're so comfortable with our expectations and what we expect from Jesus and what we want from Jesus that we don't actually want to know any more than that. And so we miss out on knowing the risen Jesus. Francis Chan goes on to say this. He says, "Most people's belief system is based on desire, not truth." Most people's belief system is based on desire or not truth. Like, it's what I desire. This is what I want. This is how I want Jesus to look. This is how I want him to be for me. This is where I want to fit him into my life. He's there when I need to pray, but he's not there when I've got to sort my finances. You know, he's there when I'm in crisis or I'm feeling sick and I can cry out to him, but he's not there when I've got some tough decisions to make about how I treat my neighbor or how I bring up my kids or you know, the stuff that's really mine. Well, guess what? If you come to Jesus expecting one thing, don't be surprised, because he's not always going to be where you think he's going to be. What if, just imagine, what if Jesus didn't fit into the nice little boxes that we have made for him? Would you want to know? What if he really was real? What if he really did rise from the dead? Would you want to know? Would you? Or are you happy? I'm not trying to put anything on you. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty, because if you're happy where you are, then Jesus will give you that space. But if it's true, would you really want to know? Because if you do, it will change everything. Second thing that this verse spoke to me about was the angels, those two men who looked like they were dressed in lightning. They're not the latest figures to be added to the Avengers ensemble. These are angelic visitations that have come down, and they're kind of pointing the way to what's going on, messengers from God. And they speak to the women who've come to the tomb, and they say in verse 5, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Now, just when we read that, we're like, okay, we know that. We're here today because we're celebrating the fact that we know that Jesus is alive. But to these women, that was a revelation. This was like, what? He's not dead? What are you telling me he's not dead? I mean, it's one thing for the body to not be where we thought it was going to be, but for him to not be dead anymore, you're telling me he's alive? What is going on? I mean, these women, they were there when Jesus was crucified. They saw him hanging on the cross. They were there when he was taken down. They helped wrap him in those burial cloths, those linen cloths. They wrapped him up. They saw him transported and placed in the tomb, and the stone rolled over the entrance. They saw it all happen. What is this new revelation that these angels are speaking to them? don't look for the living among the dead. This blows their minds. And they're not saying none of that stuff didn't happen. They're not saying that all that stuff didn't happen. What they're saying is, guys, it's not the end of the story. It's not the end of the story. When Jesus died, it wasn't the end of the story. It's like when you think about all those Hollywood movies where they have that main hero character who has to sacrificially give themselves up at the end of the film. You know the sort of films I'm talking about, right? For me, my mind always goes to Armageddon, which is probably old for some of you. It's a 90s film. It's got Bruce Willis in and a big rock in space. Great film. Go and watch it. But that sort of film where the hero ultimately has to make that choice, that decision, which means that they have to sacrifice themselves in order that everyone else gets to keep on living. And it happens time and time again in all sorts of Hollywood movies. It's a great story, but it always ends with the hero paying that ultimate sacrifice. But for Jesus, death wasn't the end. It wasn't the end of the story. If all that Jesus did was live a good life as a good kind of a role model of what it meant to be human, then he was a great moral teacher for us, and we can learn things from him, but that's it. If Jesus died, well, that's takes it another level, because what that means is he was a great martyr. I mean, there's been some wonderful people who've been martyrs over the years, but if all he did was live a great example of a life and then die a horrible death, then he's a martyr who we can look up to and aspire to be like, but that's it. No, no, no. Death wasn't the end. Because in his resurrection, well, that was the game changer. Because in his resurrection, everything was different. In his resurrection, it meant that death and sin no longer had a hold on him, and therefore no longer has to have a hold on us, because Jesus has made a way for us to have relationship with God the Father again. This is the good news of the cross that we celebrate at Easter. Let me remind you of the story. When God created the world, he made it beautiful, perfect, harmonious. He made us, and we were in relationship with God, but we messed that up. From the very first human to every person who's ever lived, including myself and including all of you guys, we've all messed up. We've turned our back on God in one way or another. We've chosen to do things our own way, to disobey God's plans for our lives and his plans for this world. And we've chosen to be disobedient to God's plans, to make ourselves the boss of our lives. And the Bible calls that thought, that action, just calls that sin. But here's the thing. God didn't want to leave us in our sin, because he knew that there was nothing we could do to fix that ourselves. Ultimately, without God, we're just broken people living in a broken world, and there's nothing we can do, no amount of aspiration or money or wealth or celebrity status that's ever going to change the fact that we're broken people living in a broken world, and we can't escape that on our own. But God had a plan, and that plan was to send Jesus. When Jesus came, his sole purpose was to take all of that brokenness, all of that pain, all that hurt, all that sin, all that mess, and to take it on himself. And when he died on that cross, he clung on to all of that sin, and he took it with him down to the grave, and he buried it, and he left it there. Because 3 days later, you see, Jesus didn't sin. He never did anything wrong. So death couldn't hold on to him. God raised him back to life. He left the sin, he left the mess and the brokenness in the grave, but Jesus himself came back to life. And what that means is that for you and for me, there is a way for us to find new life in Christ Jesus. There's a way that we can come back into the relationship with God that he had always destined and planned for us to have. That if we're willing to surrender ourselves to him, if we're willing to say ultimately, you know what, I have messed up, I've tried to do it my own way, but I'm sorry, God, and I want to try and do it your way. Please, Lord, would you come and be the boss of my life from here on? And if we're willing to say that, to pray that, to offer ourselves to God in that way, we're kind of metaphorically speaking, we're saying, I choose to die to myself so that I can find new life in you through the cross of Christ. Guys, I'm excited by that because it's the only truth that sets us free. It's the only truth by which it's worth building our lives on and living by. Just a reminder again of the testimonies we heard from the three guys up here whose lives have been transformed, because the power of the cross means that it transforms your life from the inside out and you never look the same again. If you want to know the truth about God, I mean, if you really want to know the truth about God, if you're willing to have your expectations and your prejudices and your preconceived ideas of who Jesus is challenged, broken, and your world turned upside down, if you're willing to accept that God is who he says he is, that Jesus did die for you and for me, if you're willing to surrender to him today, then we too can have new life, born out of the ashes of the old self, being put to death, and finding freedom and salvation and finding eternal hope through Jesus Christ. And I want to finish by just giving you an opportunity to respond to that this morning. You may have come this morning with no expectations that Jesus would mean anything or do anything for you today, but I want to suggest to you right now, he loves you, he has a plan for you, and he wants to be in relationship with you. God doesn't make mistakes. When he made you, he didn't make a mistake. He made a person who he loves, who he knows, and who he wants to be in relationship with. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for you, every one of us. And he's inviting you today to make a stand, to stand with him, to surrender to him and make him the Lord of your life. I'm going to ask in a moment if anybody would like to make that decision today to follow Jesus. I'm going to ask in a moment for you to just stand where you are, and I'll pray for those who are standing. And if nobody stands, I'll just pray and give thanks to my glorious God, whom I love and follow with all my life. So just take a moment to reflect in your own heart. If you could know the truth of who God was today, even if it was different from what you expect or even want, would you still be willing to come to him? Father God, I pray as we just bring this into land, would you be speaking into the hearts of every person here? Would you remind each and every one of us how much you love us to the point that you were willing to sacrifice yourself and die a horrendous death on the cross? God, would you remind us that death was not the end for you? It does not have to be the end for us. And I pray, God, if there is anyone here who would like to make that decision to follow you this morning, they would be bold and brave to do that right now. If you'd like to make that decision, please stand to your feet right now. It's a difficult thing to do, but I just want to give that a moment. I feel like God will be speaking to different people here today. If you want to say, you know what, you might not know all the answers, might not have all the questions lined up, but if you want to know Jesus as the Lord of your life, this is your opportunity to stand. Well, Father God, we thank you that you are good and that you are God. We thank you that today, of all days, we can remember the wonderful sacrifice and the amazing revelation that comes from knowing Jesus, the risen Lord, the risen King, our hope, our Savior, our King of Kings. We put our hope and our trust in you again this morning. And thank you, God, that it's not just for today, but that every day we get to live in relationship with you as our King. Praise your name. Amen.
Great. Would you like to stand as we finish this morning? And as you stand, maybe I can just say two things. One is, if there's stuff going on and you go, oh, I really want to find out more about who God is and make sure that I don't miss his reality if he really is alive. Well, one of the best ways we know to go further on that journey and find out more is by doing Alpha. Alpha, of course, we run regularly, and we've got another Alpha course.